This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Don't know how I'll go with this this morning. I was going to say I'll try to talk. I might end up preaching, we'll see. I read out a scripture last week in Hosea chapter 6. And it was from 6 and verses 1 to 3. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. Confusing words, aren't they, at times? After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. In other words, as sure as the morning comes, his going forth is established like that. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Anyway, I've had, I think I'll just try to talk and maybe go to the scriptures. I was reading in Exodus, and it was about the Moses being sent to Egypt to deliver God's people, Israel, out of Egypt. And I've referred to this a lot of times, you know, the typology that's there. It actually says about Moses that that he even actually prophesied about his ministry to the children of Israel. He said that the Lord was going to raise up a prophet, he said, like me. And that whoever wouldn't hear him would be cut off, but whoever hears him will be right. So he said, a prophet like me. What he's referring to was this prophet was going to be like me in what he was trying to do. And I believe, you know, the Bible says first the natural and then the spiritual. What was Moses raised up to do? He was raised up as a deliverer to lead God's people out of Egypt. And the three scriptures that I'll read out of it, I'll try to just give a bit of background. First of all, Moses, you know the story, he's actually brought up, well, we could go right back, incredible story. He's in Egypt. He ends up Pharaoh's daughter's been brought up by Pharaoh's daughter. When all the children of Israel, their sons were being thrown in the river to be killed, Moses' parents, he was an Israelite, decided, no, there's something special about this child, and so hid him. Then end up putting him in a basket of reeds, floating him down the river. How many mums and dads could do that? Float your little son, daughter down the river. But just trusting that God was going to look after him, and it's Pharaoh's daughter that ends up seeing this little cubicle boat thing and bringing Moses, and she brings up Moses as her own child, and he's brought up in all the wisdom and knowledge of Egypt. Stephen, in the book of Acts, when he describes him, says that he was mighty in deed and in word. Whether that mean he knew so many different languages, I don't know whether he could actually speak really well. We're not sure, because we know later on he says to God, I'm a man, I can't even talk. So he's brought up, and as a young man, he's doing great things, he's achieving great things, and then he goes out one day to see how his own people are faring. And he sees an Egyptian beating, and his heart goes out. He must have realized that I've been brought to the kingdom for this time. So he realized that, and in his own natural understanding, he thought, what am I doing? I'll just kill the Egyptian. I'm the man. So he kills the Egyptian, thinks I've done a good work, and my people will obviously know that I'm here to help them. The word will get around. So he goes out another day, and then he sees two of his brethren fighting together. And he comes up and says, brethren, why are you fighting? Man, you're in enough trouble as it is, let alone fighting one another. Can you often see that in the church? man, we're in enough trouble as it is without fighting one another. And so he says, tries to break it up. And they say to him, who made you a judge and arbitrator over us? Are you going to kill me like you did that Egyptian? Moses knew he was in trouble then. Word had got back to the authorities, and he ends up running for his life. And he's out a failure, a broken man. I think that word that Josie had, are you ready for brokenness? It's got to happen. It's got to happen. I think of the words of that a song. Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry for me? Will you be so one with me that I may do as I will? Will you be light? Will you be love? My word fulfill. You are not, and I am not going to do that in my own strength. There has to come a brokenness. We've tried it by knowledge. We've tried it by all of our works. So God said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my spirit. And so Moses flees for his life, 40 years in the wilderness. And God speaks to him in a burning bush, gets his attention, and says, I want you to go back. Tells him the job. And Moses is flat out trying to find excuses why I can't talk. If I go there, who am I going to say sent me? And so God tells him, there are three scriptures I just want to focus on. First one, I think I'll read them out together, is in Exodus chapter 3. I don't know how far I'll get with this, but we'll... Exodus chapter 3 and verse... Genesis is probably why I can't find it. Exodus chapter 3, here we go. And verse 18. God is telling him all that he's going to do. He's actually telling him to go and gather the elders and my people and show them. You know, he was given these incredible signs. One was he had a rod and he said, throw it down, it became a serpent. And when he grabbed it again, it became a rod. The other sign, he said, put your hand into your bosom and then bring it out. And when he did that, it was completely leprous. He says, okay, put it back in and bring it out again. It was totally clean. So all these signs he gave to the people realized, wow, that's God. That's God. And they were encouraged. But in Exodus 3 and verse 18, after these signs and all that, he said, then they will heed your voice. This is talking to the Israelites. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. I want to talk about God's 3-day journey that he wants every Christian to take. And again, in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 3, he refers to it again. This is after he's gone in with the elders and they've said to Pharaoh and shown him the signs, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or sword. And the last reference to that is in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 27. Amazing things have been happening. He says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. What is this 3-day journey? Because the reality, you know, in the midst of all of that, God starts pouring out his judgment because Moses goes to Pharaoh, says, let my people go. Remember, he's a type of Jesus, first the natural, then the spiritual. What does Jesus come? Let my people go. Whose are we? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He gave it to man. What did we do? We sold it out to the devil, gave him the rule, the authority over it, still under God, still God's. God gave it to man, we gave it to the devil, and all that authority, and all the problem that came, all the bondage that came, all the misery that came, all out of that one thing. And I don't want us to blame the devil here, but realize that it's every man saying, I want to be God. I want to be in control of my life. I want to do as I please. I'm the center of the universe. And so a lot of times, you know, even in our Christian walk, God, yeah, we want God, but he's a means to our own end. He's there to help us do what we want to do. And we would be shocked to actually find that the case in a lot of our lives, but it is the truth. We would say we wouldn't be like Israel. All that happened to them proves that very point. So here they are in bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh, terrible king, this hard taskmaster who makes them, you know, fulfill this quota of bricks. And every day they had to fulfill this quota of bricks. It was made with mud and straw, and they had to fulfill it. And then when Moses goes to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, I mean, Pharaoh is very compassionate and he's a reasonable man. And so what he does is, okay, don't give them any straw like we normally do. Tell them they've got to go and gather their own straw. But they must fulfill the same quota of bricks as before. And you know why he did that? And he said, put the workload, especially on the men. I want to talk to men in this place. God has chosen you first and foremost to stand before God. He would that the men everywhere pray. What is that about? And I remember talking to the men, and I'll say this again, because men, you need to do this to one another. Every man is to appear before God. And when I say man, look, every woman as well. But I just specifically want to talk to a man, to men in this place about that. Put more workload, put more responsibility on the men. Why? So that they won't listen to these stories. Or that they'll just listen to them and that's all they think they need to do. Listen to them. Hear them. So that they won't pay attention. They won't hearken. You know, I love that word, hearken. It means to hear with the heart to obey. That's what, you know, we sometimes lose so much in our shortening of the language, but hearken means to hear with the heart to obey. So Pharaoh, he's not going to let him go. I'm going to put more trouble on you, so you'll give up. So God says, okay, if you won't let him go, I'm going to bring judgments. I'm going to bring trouble. You remember the end of last year, and I preached, I don't think I titled it that. Was that you, Stephen? You titled my message Messed Up? You put some great titles on, because I'm hopeless at that. But Stephen put some great titles, and the title of this, the end of last year, was Messed Up. Totally messed up. But, you know, I just didn't want to do the rah, 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 a new year, end of it, and, you know, sing Auld Lang Syne and blah, 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 and all this rhubarb we go for in my mind. I might be overdoing this, but I want to, and then give a vision for the new year. What are we going to do? What are we going to achieve this year? And we might even ask God to help us in it. Hey, be a good idea, wouldn't it? Because he's just there to bless us. Just fed up with that. Because God is going to mess us up, because it's not about us. It's about what he wants to do today, if you will hear his voice. Often we don't hear God's voice. And reading out of Hosea, that three-day journey that he refers to there, God's talking about a three-day journey. Do you know that Israel Well, looking at, they never made that 3-day journey because he said, you've got 3 days and you'll get to a mountain and you're going to serve me there. That's what God said to Moses, 3 days, you're going to come to this mountain. Well, it was actually 3 months before they got to that mountain. 3 months before they got to a mountain that burned with fire. And they really never served him there either. Their hearts were still way back there. Just send a few rules down, God, but, you know, you just stay up there and we'll stay here. Thank you very much. But just send us a few rules. No problem, we'll do that. But we don't want to get close to you because our God is a consuming fire. What is it that he burns up? He burns up everything that's flesh. This 3-day journey is a journey of death, burial, and resurrection. I'll tell you the one who made that journey because you can't make it and I can't make it, but God has asked us to do it. It's impossible for you and it's impossible for me. But Christ did it. He did that 3-day journey for each and every one of us. He died. He rose. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. And I was thinking about all the things that we get excited about and motivated by in our Christian walk. We want to see things happen. We want to see God bless us, you know. And often, particularly in our generation now, it's very much a how-to. And so we get all the how-tos, you know, how to be blessed, how to have your finances, how to have everything in order, how to have a happy family, anything and everything, all the how-tos. And they're okay. But in the end, is it just us saying, yeah, we'll be in control. We just want you around to bless us. We want to make the real decisions in our life. What's that word you had, Tim? Man's responsibility is to, or not to, was it? Yeah, man's is to do or not do, but God's I am. He is the great I am. He is God. So this 3-day journey, why would anybody take it? It's never changed. Jesus took it for every one of us because we, as we heard around the communion, we were dead in sin. And he didn't send out his only begotten son because there was something good in us. There was nothing good in us. You know, I think I said it to Wilma, didn't I? There's nothing good in you, Wilma. Absolutely. In your flesh, there's nothing good. And I love that she laughed at me. If she didn't, she's got a big problem. Nothing good in the flesh. And so this 3-day journey is dealing with the issues that hinder God. Will you be broken? Will you be poured out? God demands, he wants, he demands, he commands every believer to take this journey. And it's an impossible one, but Jesus took it for us. So where does the motive, you know, is it self-will? You know, is it strength of physical strength, a person can do it? Or is it strength of will or emotional strength? You know, if you get enough emotion in there, you can do it. No, you can't do it. Jesus has done it for us. And I think what the most motivation to take this journey is, what? It's love for him. And so the Israelites never met with him. They saw his what? They saw his works, but it was Moses who knew his ways because Moses met with him face to face. And so when a person turns to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the exact image of God. Or we might be blinded in a way where Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Oh, a great prophet. That's all we need, a great prophet. Or a great teacher. Or a miracle worker. Or Jeremiah, that's what we need. No, but it was those who recognized that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And the veil is taken away. And what the motivation then for the Christian life is what? It's love for him. So what does he say? If you love me, you will keep my commands. The Israelites thought, if I want to impress him, I'll keep his commands. And they never could. But it's love for him. So what did Jesus do when he came along? He says, follow me. And what did they do? They rose, left all, and followed him. You cannot follow him unless you're willing and prepared to leave all. That's the motivation. Not working harder on your Christian life. Not working harder on your bad attitude or this or that. Because the only way to deal with the sins of the flesh is to take them where? To the cross. He says, if any man wants to follow me, what's the conditions? You've got to take up your cross, deny yourself. Deny yourself, take up your cross. So what's the cross do? It puts to death. It puts to death. And whenever we start praying, help me with my bad attitude, you're on the wrong track. You'll never get help that way. Help me to be a better person. It won't. No, he's got to kill you. That's what the message of the cross is. It's the power of God to salvation, to what? Everyone who believes. And this believing, we think, oh, yeah, I believe the whole story. I believe every word in the Bible. How many times do we say, I believe everything. I've got my doctrine all right. I believe absolutely every word. That's not a believer. Devils at least have the courtesy and decency to tremble. They believe and they tremble. They have the decency to do that. Believing in Jesus is the giving over of your entire life to him. And from that point, you say, look, it's no longer me who's alive. So it's the message of the cross that's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. What's the message of the cross? Is you've got to take that 3-day journey. We keep trying to put conditions on it. Okay, look, just give me a bit of extra time and I'll get it right. And he says, it was only 3 days, 3 days journey to where, you know what God says? Oh, I can't lead them that way. He says, because as soon as they see war or strife or conflict coming because of the choices that they've made, they're just going to go straight back. And even though God kept them out there, in their hearts, they're already back there. Because the Bible said they carried the gods, the idols of Egypt with them in their heart. How many Christians do that because we haven't gone on that 3-day journey that God wants? You know, when you go on a journey, it was our grandson Finnan on, just saw the time, I've got to finish. But I'll tell, but Finnan, so he's nearly in Brazil, isn't he? He'd be there now. Yeah, so he left Saturday 1:30, wasn't it? Oh, in the morning when he went to the airport, yeah. But the flight was 1:30. And so, what did you say, Tanya? You know, when he got to the airport and she's struggling not to cry and he's struggling not to cry because it's a whole year he's away. And, but there's this journey that he's gone on. Do you realize when you go on a journey, if you've decided as a Christian to go on that journey, you better count the cost right now, because everything that you are, this journey will kill you, it will kill me, but let me tell you, there's resurrection, and it's only in Jesus Christ. God's, that's always what he's wanted. We think it's about, God, come and help me. God, I just need a bit of help and I'll be a decent person. Because basically, I am a decent person. No, you're not. You're an absolute rat bag. There is nothing good in you. Nothing at all. And I'm joking, but that's actually the truth. Nothing good. And in fact, if you justify yourself by finding anybody who's worse than you, you are actually worse than they are. It is self-righteousness and pride which God hates. God hates that. Remember Karen talking about things that God hates. We're going to have to get back to a three-day journey because we haven't really started it. We haven't even looked at the scriptures. But God's spoken this morning. Will you be broken? Will you allow him to break you? Will you allow him to tear down all of our thoughts, our plans, our ways? Because God has a way. But I tell you what, it's where life is. This might be a road that's death, but there's resurrection. You don't come to the cross and wallow there. You come to the cross because there's resurrection there. You go through it. Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. Lord, you said when we come before you and come into your house to tread carefully, I ask, Father, that it would be such an awareness of you that, Lord, the words we would pray as the psalmist when he realized that, God, you were there in everything that we say. Even every attitude of our heart is exposed and laid bare before you. And the psalmist said, search me and try me. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. And I'm saying, cried out, when you come into the house of God, let your words be few. Don't make promises or vows that you do not intend to keep. Now, I pray real seriousness. Lord, we love, there's joy in your presence, but I pray a real seriousness, Lord, to come upon each and everyone. There'll be a counting of the cost and, Lord, a pursuing of you. As you said, your word, let us know. Let us press on to know you. For as surely as the morning you will come. And so I ask that, Father, in every heart in here, all of our lives, Lord, because you are the one that's at work in us both to will and to do, that you would awaken such a desire for you. Lord, even if it means things around about us, visions and plans falling in a heap, I say, do it, Lord. Lord, that there might be a laying a hold of you for that which you've laid a hold of us in this time and in this generation. But Lord, awaken a heart in us to know you and to press on to know you. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and thank you for it. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.